Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another special edition episode of The Assembly Call, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel. As you know, they have the world's largest and best selection of vintage collegiate apparel printed on the softest and most comfortable fabrics. You can knock out your entire Christmas list in one place. Go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME23, and get 15% off your first order. That is HOME23 at homefieldapparel.com for 15% off your first order. Okay, well, we'd planned to have something special for you today. Hopefully we still will here with Indiana's second December Big Ten game coming up tomorrow in Ann Arbor. The plan was to talk through that with our buddy Ant Wright. We set it up on Friday. Haven't heard from him yet today. He's got the link and everything, so hopefully he'll still show up. We'll see how that goes. Miscommunications happen, so maybe something happened there. Hopefully everything is all good on his end. But either way, we have here with us also the man behind IU Film Room in our Assembly Call content, Coach Tony Adronia. Tony, how are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. It's a good Monday. Cignetti still got me fired up, and IU win over Maryland still got me fired up, so I'm ready to go.
I know, and Cignetti, I saw he posted a picture earlier today of him at the office at 5:30, and then said on the radio, I think, that he had already been there for an hour. So I think, who got there first, him or Gabe Cupps for his breakfast club? What do you think?
That's a good question.
Two of them will probably bump into each other. Yeah, they'll probably bump into each other a lot. All right, Tony. So we've got a big game coming up on Tuesday. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. Indiana plays at Michigan on Tuesday. That game is at 9 o'clock Eastern. So it's the first real late tip of the season for Indiana. That game is on Peacock. So make sure that you have your Peacock subscription. If you don't want to, pony up for the subscription and you just want to listen, the Varsity app does a really nice job of providing the radio feed. So you can get the Varsity app and then you can listen to Fish. But if you want to actually watch it, you want to watch it on Peacock. And I will just offer this little bit of this Peacock tip, which kind of stinks. But I guess, Tony, in a normal DVR situation, say you're 10 minutes late, you would turn it on. And if you've been recording it, you could rewind to the beginning. That is not the case here. It does not work like that. If you're late to the game,
you got to wait until it's completely on demand.
Yeah, completely on demand, and they don't put them on demand right away. You have to wait sometimes several hours afterwards. So just beware of that. A little bit of a different experience there on Peacock. But that game is on Peacock. Indiana is 1-0 in conference play, obviously, after beating Maryland. Michigan has yet to open up Big Ten play. On Saturday, they played at Oregon, lost that game in overtime 86-83. So this will be their first Big Ten game. Their second one is then on Sunday against Iowa. But it's interesting, Tony, as we start looking at this matchup, you know, Michigan entered the season ranked number 45 in KenPom. They are 4-4. You know, they've had two top 100 wins over St. John's and Stanford. They've lost to three teams, you know, ranked 52nd or higher in Memphis, Texas Tech, and Oregon. And they lost to number 138 Long Beach State. But they've only dropped four spots since the season started. Indiana, on the other hand, opened the season number 50 in KenPom, has a 6-1 record, and has dropped 19 spots in KenPom to number 69, which is interesting. And, you know, I say that just as kind of a point of reference here on December 4th. We know that those analytics are very noisy early in the season. There's going to be a lot of fluctuation. So I'm not saying that's necessarily an accurate assessment of how good these teams are. But I do think that when you put it into kind of an objective per possession algorithm, for it to spit out that kind of a difference in terms of kind of the relative strengths of these teams, I do find interesting. I'm curious just to get your take on that and kind of based on what you've seen from Indiana, and I know you haven't watched Michigan as closely, but what you've seen from them, if that makes sense to you, I guess, why the computers are viewing these two teams the way they are.
Yeah, a couple things there to start. First one with Peacock, we're going to have to get on Osterman and all those guys that live tweet the games and ask them to give us like a minute delay on their tweets. Streaming, especially on Peacock, seems to be a decent amount behind live action.
Oh, is it really?
Like okay. Up to like 2 minutes.
Okay.
From games that I've watched. So that's something that I would love for them to figure out because there definitely will be people that are at the games, you know, live tweeting and stuff. And
it feels like they weren't quite ready for the live sports streaming yet.
No. Working out the kinks like in real time. And especially like what I was curious about today, and sorry, this is a complete side tangent from your actual question, but what I was curious about today is like if they'll have like the bandwidth to get to like withstand an IU versus Purdue, everybody on that app trying to watch that game. Like that is something that concerns me. I have no idea if they have the infrastructure in place to support that. I would think and hope they do, but that did kind of strike me today when I was thinking about Peacock. On are they going to have like the bandwidth, or is the whole state of Indiana just going to hate Peacock because nobody can watch the IU Purdue rivalry? I guess time will tell. In terms of your real question, in basketball related, you know, I'm more of a Bart Torvik fan right now because he's got IU at 52 and Michigan at 53. And that's solely why. Nothing to do with actually how they get their numbers. But, you know,
I think Torvik has less of last season stuff baked into his current number, correct. I think, is the difference.
Correct. His is more like predictive metrics based. I mean, he explains it. You know, he takes into account like recruiting rankings and all kinds of stuff. That KenPom doesn't. So I do think Indiana's probably closer to their Bart Torvik rating than their KenPom rating. And same with Michigan right now. But like you said, there's so much noise there right now, and it all tends to flush itself out. Both of which are better than Indiana's net rating.
Let's not even talk about the net rating. Good Lord. Was it 137, I think?
Yeah.
Not talk great. About a number that's noisy early in the season when they first put it out.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because if you had this conversation with Mike Woodson, he'd be like, look, we're 6-1. That's all that matters. He's basically noted as much. Yes. You know, Indiana really had some struggles with some pretty low opponents, especially, you know, you look at Army and even Florida Gulf Coast hasn't really proven to be as good as I maybe thought they might be. But, you know, Army's 352 in KenPom, and for Indiana to really struggle with them, that's gonna hamper you. Louisville isn't very, you know, 161. They did get a win over number 70 Maryland, so like they're working in the right direction. But it makes sense when you, like you said, when you look at kind of these predictive metrics for Indiana that they don't see them as very good. You know, when you look at Michigan. As you noted, they've got a couple top 100 wins. They beat St. John's. You know, their losses, I guess they did lose to a bad Long Beach State team, but the rest of their losses are within about that top 50 of KenPom. So, you know, it's hard to say. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, with Indiana, they obviously haven't played a true road game. They certainly had that neutral site in New York and then obviously in Indy. So I'm intrigued to see what they look like on the road. But at the same time, the predictive stuff right now is just so hard to kind of flush out and figure out where everything's at.
So let me tell you my concerns heading into this game. You know, and I think most Indiana fans are feeling better about the team after the second half against Harvard and the way they played against Maryland. I certainly think this is a winnable road game. Like, Indiana can go up there and win this game. You know, Michigan has some, you know, some interesting players. Doug McDaniel's off to a great start. Olivier Kamwa is obviously very good. But they've got a lot of, you know, new faces and new places, you know, working through some of the same role issues that Indiana is. So this is a game Indiana could win. But here are my concerns. You know, one, you know, we saw Indiana, you know, kind of rally around a depleted backcourt with no Xavier Johnson at home against Maryland. And you can kind of do that at home. You know, you've got, you know, Coach Tonsoni, who was there, said the crowd was awesome. You know, that kind of gives you some of that extra juice. You're not going to have that against Michigan. And so, you know, if X can't play, and I'm approaching the game as if X is not going to be able to play, now Gabe Cupps is starting, you know, so a freshman in his first, you know, kind of road battle. And when you look at some of the things that Michigan has done to be successful, number one, it's Doug McDaniel using a ton of possessions, breaking down defenses with his speed and quickness, which has been a problem for Indiana. And then Michigan has used the three-point line very well. You know, they're in the top 50 in three-point percentage, and they're, you know, 100th in the country, so they're a little bit above average in how often they shoot threes. And Indiana's three-point defense has been better of late, but they are still susceptible to that. And so you kind of add up, you know, some of those things. How does Indiana overcome that then to compete and potentially, you know, be able to win this game? Because those would seem to be all advantages in Michigan's direction.
Yeah, and another one that scares me is Michigan's a really good offensive rebounding team. I think they're, in the top 30 in the country pretty much in offensive rebound percentage. And in Indiana, it does seem, along with, you know, their three-point defense, their defensive rebounding has seemed to get better as well. But Michigan's a, you know, pretty elite offensive rebounding team. So that's another thing that does concern me. You know, it seems as though they have struggled to rebound against the teams that do shoot a lot of three-pointers. You know, you're going to get long rebounds. You're going to get weird positioning on rebounds when teams are chucking it from the cheap seats. And so, you know, that kind of compounds the issue a bit of kind of Indiana's two weaknesses on the defensive end that they've shown. How do they overcome that? I think Indiana does exactly what it has been doing in terms of being able to get to the free throw line at an elite rate. I think number 5 in the country right now in free throw rate, which is outstanding. Michigan is not deep at all. I think on KenPom, their bench minutes is 340th or something in the country. There's only 20 teams or so that use their bench less. So if Indiana can get them in foul trouble, they're gonna get deep into that bench that really doesn't have a lot of experience or time together. And that's how I think Indiana can really kind of control the flow of the game. If they're able, especially if you can get you know, somebody in foul trouble like a McDaniel or something along those lines that really kind of neutralizes that loss of Xavier Johnson being able to put ball pressure on. So to me, that's the number one key for Indiana is kind of continue to do what they've been doing in terms of getting the team in foul trouble. Now, on that same coin, Michigan hasn't fouled a lot. Their defensive free throw rate has been pretty low. And some might argue that's because they haven't played a lot of defense. You know, their defense their defense has been pretty susceptible to big games. And so, you know, obviously that bodes well for Indiana. Indiana's had a, you know, an elite front court in Malik Renew and Khalil Ware. And then you add Mackenzie Mbako. Mbako seems to be coming on of late. You know, that can give Michigan fits as well. So to me, Indiana's got to continue to ride what's got them there. And that's, like I said, getting to the foul line, running with that front court, forcing Michigan to do different things. I think Michigan's not going to be afraid to throw out some zone defensive looks, change things up, you know, in terms of how they guard Indiana, in terms of doubling the post, not doubling the post, make Malik Renew think when he catches that ball. They did those similar things to Trayce Jackson-Davis when he would catch it in the low post. So, Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything unique that Indiana has to do that's different than how they've played this season. But, you know, they've got to execute that at a high level, especially when their first road trip.
You know, you're right. I mean, Michigan has not played a ton of defense. They're currently 125th in adjusted defensive efficiency. There's only been one game all season where they've given up less than 73 points, and that was to Youngstown State in a 92-62 victory back in November. And, you know, the recipe that teams have used against them, you know, number one, teams are shooting the three really well against Michigan. They're giving up, you know, a percentage of 39.4%, you know, and they're about the national average in terms of the amount of threes teams take against them. Can Indiana take advantage of that, you know, on the road? Obviously, if they're going to do it, it's probably going to need to be guys like McKenzie Mbako and Trey Galloway stepping up to do it. And we haven't really seen those guys get going yet, although it feels like Mbako's ready. Like, it feels like he's ready to have like a 4 or 5 3-point game. I don't know if it'll happen here, but that would obviously be big for Indiana. But as you said, you know, the bread and butter is going down low. And, you know, Michigan is not without size. They have Terrace Reed, who I thought really improved last year in his first season. You know, he's a solid defensive player. They also have Trey Jackson, who's, you know, a 6'10 center. And so they're a little bit above average in terms of defending twos, but they don't turn teams over a lot. And that'll be big for Indiana because obviously, you know, Indiana has been susceptible at times to some turnovers. So that's what's going to be interesting to me. You know, you go on the road, can Indiana protect enough possessions, get enough good shots for Malik and Khalil down low? Because I think they should have an advantage down there. I mean, Khalil's going to have 2 or 3 inches on whoever tries to guard him. And we'll talk about the Kamwa Malik Renew matchup in a little bit because I think that's particularly interesting. But to your point, I think the formula is going to look very similar. And the X factor for me is, can Indiana hit 6 or 7 threes? You know, I think if we do, that's where now we're going to have a chance to go steal it. But if we're trying to overcome some of these other issues while kind of playing with one hand tied behind our back, if we're only hitting 3 or 4 threes, that's going to be a much tougher needle to thread on the road. You know, because Michigan, that's been part of the formula for these teams to beat Michigan, you know, is get hot, hit some threes. We just haven't seen enough from Indiana to expect that on the road. But they're certainly capable. And that to me is going to be a big part of whether they can go on the road and win or not.
Absolutely agree. You know, and it's going to come off of those Malik Renew doubles, kick out, extra pass to the opposite wing, and somebody's got to be ready to knock down a shot. You know, as I mentioned in my film room this past Friday, that's where Trey Galloway's, you know, thrived. last season in spot up opportunities, and I think he's going to have those. And, you know, you've got a guy in Gabe Cups that's going to be willing to make that extra pass. I think Gabe knows his role, you know, especially in that starting group, is to distribute, you know, get hockey assists, get the ball in the right spots, don't turn the ball over. You know, we were having a conversation offline right before this, like, his offensive production has been fairly minimal. You know, hasn't scored a point since, I think, mid-November. Yeah. So, you know, I think he's a guy that can kind of get those hockey assists, help get the ball in the right spots. And then, like you said, an Mbako, a Trey, a CJ Gunn, those guys got to be ready to step up and knock them down because they're going to have ample opportunities.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now here on the assembly call, our buddy, Ant Wright. He played for John Beilein at Michigan, the owner of the Full Ride Network, which, by the way, features Hoosier Illustrated, which is a website that you all should be checking out. They're doing really good work over there. He's one of the best Big Ten basketball follows on Twitter. Lots of spontaneous film rooms and halftime reports popping up for different teams' games that you should check out. But we're excited to have Ant on the show. Ant, big game coming up tomorrow night. It's Michigan's Big Ten opener. It's Indiana's second Big Ten game. Looking to keep the momentum going from a good second half against Harvard, a solid win over Maryland. We want to talk to you about, you know, kind of some of the matchups and what you think the keys are. But I want to start with kind of a big picture Indiana topic. You know, you came on the show in the offseason. I would characterize you as being bullish on the talent of the roster, but worried about how it would all fit together, especially McKenzie Mbako, Malik Renew, and Khalil Ware. What have you seen through 7 games with those guys? Have you changed your mind on that at all?
No, I haven't. But I will say that Khalil Ware, what Woodson has done with him, amazing, amazing job. And I think Khalil, he never moved that fast last year. He never acted like he gave a shit last year. You saw games this year where he's getting hype after plays. I'm like, he never did this before. You know, he cares. He truly cares. And he understands the importance of him. Right. And that's a huge step in the right direction. Malik Renew, I think he is. It's cool to see that he's finding himself as being the alpha on the team. That's cool. Mbako, the way that he's rebounded the last couple games, I think has helped him offensively because he's not just worrying about, I got to score. Then he doesn't get three or four touches. Now he's frustrated. Then you see him take a my turn shot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where you have someone who's able to be mentally engaged throughout the whole game because they're trying to get rebounds. If your effort is, I'm going to get this board, you're not thinking about, I haven't shot a jump shot in 3 minutes, right? Thinking about getting this board. Okay, hey, we're live. We're back at it. Hey, boom. We're good. He's scoring around the basket.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A little bit more. He's not just settling. He's using his size to his advantage, not a disadvantage. Still needs work on the defensive end, but through, seven or eight games, I mean, we're seeing really good trajectory right now with him. He still has ways to go, but from the first couple games to now, man, it's almost night and day with how hard he's working on the basketball court. He's like learning how to play hard, which is probably one of the bigger things going from high school to Division I basketball. A lot of kids don't know how to play hard. He did not know how to play hard. He's learning, and you could see it with his like every possession. He started to take every possession personal. He's starting to try to win every possession, not I got to get through this possession so I can go down here and try to get a bucket, right? Or I don't want to work too hard because I'll get tired and I got to come out. He's not worried about that. He's worried about now, not worried about, hey, what do I have to do to get a shot up here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think it does, you know, as a former athlete yourself, when Mike Woodson, you know, multiple games in a row has kind of come out in the press conference and been like, look, he's a freshman. He's got to learn this. And really, like, I'm not putting any pressure on him, so maybe you guys should. You know, kind of a something where he's kind of letting McKenzie, like, just – he doesn't have to produce at the level that so many people are thinking he's got to produce at. And Basically going out there and saying that, you know, he's not saying, McKenzie, you're a five-star, you know, you're a NBA hopeful, you got to go score 20 a game or you know, he's actually going out there and saying, look, he's doing what I expect of him. This is exactly what I expect when he came here. He's got time to grow. It's only November. Like, what does that do for McKenzie Mbako's mindset when he's kind of got – he obviously has a coach in his corner, but he's even doing it in like a public manner.
I mean, it's big for him because, look, bro, it's hard to score in college, and it's really hard to be a true freshman and do that in college. Unless you're Zion, unless you're Paolo Banchero, unless you're Chet Holmgren, unless you're some generational type of dude, it takes time. It takes a lot of time, and it's going to take even more time in this conference because I just think this conference is just so well coached, so well scouted that they're going to pick at your, they're going to pick at the littlest things and try to just expose it, right? So I think it's great for him that like he's not having that pressure. He's able to go into film and not worry about what outside voices are saying because he knows that the staff has his back. He's not going to throw McKenzie under the bus, and you know what? Some freshmen may need to be thrown under the bus, but we know that Mike Woodson knows his guys. He's going to talk about certain guys different ways to media or in film or on the court because different guys have different – are wired differently. You can't get on Cups the same way as maybe X, right? You can't get on Malik the same way as you get on Caleb because they could be totally different. And if you know how to – push the right buttons for different guys, you're going to get positive results.
So, okay. So we asked you that question. You said positive stuff about McKenzie, positive stuff about Malik, positive stuff about Khalil.
I hate the backcourt.
Okay. Well, let's go. Okay. Go. Right up. I think we understand why, but okay. Let me frame that. Okay. Tell us about the backcourt. And then I have a follow-up question for you.
X has got to be better. I know he's hurt, but even when he was healthy, I didn't feel like we were watching a top four guard in the league, which I think Indiana fans think he is. I haven't seen that. Trey Galloway, what has he gotten better at this year? Like, I expected him to be like Batman Robin with X. I put in the video, like, I wanted to see him be more like Chase Adige at with Northwestern, the way that he was with Boo Booey.
Yep.
Chase Adige was very good on both ends, and he let Boo Boo, we rest on some non-perimeter threats because Chase was a mother effer getting at it on defense too, right? I think Trey is a better version of Chase Adige, honestly. And I'm not seeing it. Trey's a bit passive. I'm not sure if he's going through something, an injury. I'm not sure if he's trying to conserve energy, knowing that X has not been healthy and he's dealing with – yes, Gabe. Gabe is not Jalen Hood-Trofino, right? So Gabe is good in his own right. Gabe's not a mid-first round draft pick either, right? So I need more from Trey. There's the backcourt is just not where it needs to be, especially if you're a team who wants to get to an NCAA tournament and do something in the NCAA tournament. You know that you have to have a good backcourt to do anything in the postseason. I just don't see it. I like Gabe Cupps. I like what he's been. I think he's going to eventually have to do more. I think CJ Gunn is going to be someone who I think Woodson at some point he's going to just have to say, "Look, CJ, we got all the confidence in you. You're going to have a longer leash. You're going to go out and be 0-for-8. That doesn't matter. I'm still going to play you," because he's going to have to play through some things because they're going to need him in February. They're going to need him badly throughout the end of the year. It's just the backcourt is just very, very confusing for me. And they could win games in this conference because of their front court. Their front court has gotten a lot better. The backcourt is not. And I thought, you know, there would be a lot more there in the backcourt. I'm just not seeing the impact that it should have.
I mean, it's a great point, you know, and I think a lot of Indiana fans have noticed even that, you know, since X went out, Indiana has played better against Harvard and against Maryland. Now, that doesn't mean Indiana's a better team without X, because, I mean, even just for depth purposes and what he brings defensively. Mm-hmm. But there is something that has happened offensively to this team with him out. And I think part of it is he just really seems to be struggling to figure out what his role was. And we saw this his first year, you know, and then he figured it out late in the year with Trace. We saw it last year. He never got the chance to figure it out because he was hurt. You know, do you think, like, the issues that you're seeing with X and Trey – does it seem like maybe some veterans that are just kind of struggling to figure out their roles and they'll be able to get it going? Or is there something more fundamental there where you're like, man, I think I just misjudged how good this backcourt could be?
A little bit of both. I think one of the bigger parts of it was, you know, how much they played through TJD last year at all levels of the half court, right? It wasn't just giving him the ball in the post. He got the ball at the elbow. He got the ball at the three-point line. And sometimes it wasn't a score. It was just a, hey, cut around him because he could hit anybody anywhere, right? Because he's a really good passer. And it was almost like TJD was like a de facto point guard almost, where it was like, hey, we're going to give him the ball and we're just going to move all these pieces around. And he's going to hit someone who has some leverage and maybe you play out of it 2-on-2. You could do a lot of things with that, right? So they have to now be with the big. That's not his thing. As good as Khalil Ware has been, it's very different than TJD. Very different. Very different type of player. You have Khalil Ware who's made a few threes. I don't think TJD even shot a few threes, right? Two very different players. One, TJD, he's breaking you down in the mid post, getting to the rim. Khalil Ware is probably backing you down and shooting a fadeaway jump shot. So it's two very, very different players. Two very different players. And I think when you have guys who have been there for three, four years, being with a completely different big, they have to adjust the same way as, you know, Khalil's having to adjust to them. And I think they're just unsure of each other right now.
And what about the role Malik fills? Because what you described from Trace, I mean, Malik is a different player, but he is kind of taking on that role of post facilitator.
Yeah. So Malik is basically, he is the guy, in my opinion. I think he's someone who could be on the all Big Ten, probably second team right now, I'd put him. He's probably in that all Big Ten second team range. And, you know, you've seen flashes on how great he's been. And you've seen where in games that he's struggled, that replacement, they've had to keep up, but it's just a much, much different game. I like Renew. I like what they do with Khalil along with Renew, just to keep some sort of spacing. Where if Malik is down there, Khalil's either cutting, he's dunker spot, or he is out on the 3-point line. They're not doing anything crazy with him, and Malik is able to score through 2-3 guys at times. You know, being like what 6'7", 6'8", strong lefty.
With Indiana, they're weird. It's a really weird dynamic, especially in terms of, you know, where modern basketball is heading, because they've got, you know, Mbako, Ware, and Renew, who all, you know, good talents in their own rights. Is there something that Mike Woodson could do to get X or Galloway going to kind of get their confidence up, or just to put the ball in the bucket more or facilitate more? Because, you know, the other side of the coin is like the front court's been so effective playing through them, and then they kind of play that two-man game with Renew and Ware. Sometimes the guards get – they're kind of obsolete in terms of their half-court offense.
So is there, get out the way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So is there anything that they could or should do to try to get those guards knowing that in March, if you want to make some noise or even to get to March, like those guys are going to have to be productive at some point?
Honestly, the only way that I could really say that would be more aggressive in secondary breaks. Allow Cups to push the ball, allow Trey to push the ball, get the ball up the court and get in the two-man game right away. Because if you have a lineup where everybody – it's weird. It's so weird. It's so strange. It's so strange. Who's your starting five? Cups, Galloway, Mbako, Renew, and Ware, right? Yep. Tell me, who do you not want shooting a three?
Like right now,
Cups and Galloway.
You do not want shooting that three, but if they were to shoot it, I don't think you're like, oh shit, right?
Right.
You have five guys who have the green light still.
Yeah,
but they don't. But they don't play that way because they're so efficient within 10, 12 feet. Right. I think you do need to play a little bit faster. I think Mbaka would like that, playing a little bit more up and down. I think I have to ask you, how has Ware's conditioning been? Is he someone who can play 9, 10, 11 minutes, or is he playing, or is he much better in 4 to 5 minute bursts than he comes out?
It's a shorter burst for sure. At least thus far. I mean, I've seen him suck a wind a couple times. I think it speaks to you know, figuring out how to play hard. And like, it's a different level when you're playing hard, and then getting that conditioning to that level is certainly going to take some time, but certainly been that 4 to 5 minute spurt kind of guy, which it kind of leads me to a question I had typed up, because it's almost a philosophical thing that I think is really hard for guys to turn on and off in their mind, is that Indiana, they play such a defense that is conducive to teams playing slower. I mean, they're essentially playing pack line. They don't call it that, but they're sagging in gaps, and you know, the other teams are taking like 20 seconds off the shot clock. To me, it's such a fundamental shift from, you know, every coach says they want to play fast, they want to get in transition, but when your defense is predicated on like slowing the other team down, for me, that's such a hard thing to turn on and off. Like, you know, it's not like they're running around trapping everybody and getting after with, you know, having defense. It's suck it in. So to me, I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts, if you think that's kind of playing into why they aren't getting out in transition as well as just they're piggybacking back and forth or jockeying back and forth kind of in those different philosophies.
And that's, you know, that's a great point, because when you're getting out and you're pressuring, you're being aggressive, that forces teams to play faster, take tougher shots. Usually when teams play slower, they take better shots, right? When you're taking better shots, you have much better defensive transition, right? If you take a bad shot, a fast shot, defensive transition isn't as bad, because when you take a crazy shot that nobody on your team expects you to take, guys aren't getting back, guys aren't crashing, guys are in no man's land. By time the ball ricochets off the rim, it's like, who the hell just shot that ball, right? Next thing you know, the other team is going. So that is a really good point. So that's kind of clashing with, hey, may want to play a little bit faster. Maybe when they get turnovers, they can go, you know, when Khalil Ware is getting a block, you can go. They have a lot of length, so deflections, you can go. I do want to see Trey get more aggressive. I really do, because I think he has all the ability to. I think it'll open up so much, and it'll take a lot of pressure off of Gabe too, where I think Gabe can really shoot the rock. So if Gabe is more off the ball and Trey's being that guy to facilitate, he's big enough, he's athletic enough, he has the ability to see guys and find guys, and you're going to hit guys who are spotting up in Gabe and Mbaka, Renew, Ware, whoever's in trail, whoever's in dunker spot. You have a lot of options, honestly. And I think they have – it's not like they don't have offensively inept guys. They don't have guys who aren't able to shoot. That's not how they're built, but they are someone who knows where the bread and butter is right now. Now, how do you expand on that? I think it's with Trey being more the facilitator, being more the guy, being a bigger player in the pick and roll. So even if they jam you hard, 6'4", 6'5", Trey, athletic Trey, senior Trey, bigger Trey is probably making those tougher passes that Gabe probably uses one or two extra dribbles. By that time, the defense has already regained their stance and position. So, my thing would be Trey. Get Trey the ball and more looks, but they're not having trouble scoring the ball. That's the thing. So it's like, why make changes? But my only wrinkle would be, hey, let's have Trey do a little bit more of what Gabe does, and let Gabe be that guy who's off the ball.
Well, and we saw that against Maryland, and it worked well. You know, I mean, that was probably as good as Trey's played probably since the first game of the season. As we look toward this game Tuesday, you know, Indiana will be playing its first true road game. This Michigan team has been kind of all over the place. You know, they have two top 100 wins. They lost to Long Beach State. They've had four losses, but it hasn't really dinged them that hard in the analytics yet. when you look at this matchup, what do you think are maybe the one or two keys that will really kind of tell the story of this game and how it goes?
Personnel wise, who do you have to guard Doug McDaniel?
Yeah,
I think that's going to be big.
That's what we talked about.
Gabe, I mean, that's going to be a tough matchup for him, but I think he's smart enough to guard him. Gabe can also guard Namari, but Namari also does a good job attacking smaller defenders, and can Trey, and you don't want Trey on Doug for a very long time or else he's going to be worn down. Doug probably, you know, inarguably top five fastest players in the country with the basketball. He's very hard to guard. But not only that, they played eight in their last game. Jalen Llewellyn, that was his first game back. Seven guys have the green light. They're one of the best shooting teams in the country, one of the best shooting teams in the Big Ten. Every time they get an open shot, I think it's going in. Like, Will Cheddar shooting like 80% from three on like 30 attempts or something. Something insane. Terrence Williams is shooting around 38, 39%. Namari is up there too. Doug is up there.
Dude, you're not kidding. He's shooting 76.9%. He's 10 for 13. Cheddar. I thought you were exaggerating.
Dude just like he gets the ball. If he's open, the ball is probably going to go in. And when it comes to efficiency, you can look up his field goal percentage. It's up there too. It's like around 75, 80% or something. Mm-hmm. But he has foul trouble issues. So getting Renew to attack him will be huge. Where to attack him will also be huge. It's going to come down to if Indiana can make Michigan be average – make Michigan be average on offense, you and Indiana will win the game. That's what it kind of comes down to. Because defensively, they're worse than the Big Ten in efficiency. They're either worst or second to last. It's not good at all. I think in the country, a few days ago, they're in the 170s. I'm not sure where they are now, but they give up a lot of points. And, you know, I would not be surprised if Malik has a 30 ball based off of how they're able to guard. They just don't guard at all. And they just allow so many, and it's like easy baskets too. It's not like, I'll say Long Beach State was a game where these dudes were taking and making crazy shots. They were like 54 from the field, like 47 from three. It was like, they were hitting some crazy shots. In Atlantis, it was wide open dunks, wide open shots, wide open layups, wide open this, wide open that. Teams can kind of run whatever they want to run, you know. So if Indiana is able to – if they're able to somewhat contain Doug, it's really hard to contain him all the way. But if you can somewhat contain him, I mean, I can see Indiana winning like 81-76 or something like that.
Hmm. When was that –
That was Walker. Walker has no respect for me.
when you look at Michigan, you know, they're shooting a lot of threes. They're making a lot of threes. What are they doing to get into those actions? How are they getting such open? Or are they open?
Yeah, Doug slices up everyone. So he'll
get off ball screen actions and then so he'll basically get making reads.
So like Doug always gets to that second level and guys help wide open. But not only do they have seven guys who can shoot the ball, they have seven guys who can put the ball on the deck too. So it's, you know, even if you have a secondary defender helping out on Doug, when they hit a wing, that wing, if they're not open, they will drive the ball as well. They'll get in the paint, and they're going to either get a dunk or a wide open three. And that's kind of how it's been the whole season. If they were like, man, I feel like, if they were just okay on defense, they'd probably be like one loss, if that, maybe undefeated. But they're like, I can't explain to you how bad their defense is. And I won't be shocked because when they played Memphis and went down like 17, 18 points, they went zone. That game completely flipped. I think they should go zone 80% of the time, honestly. I think they should do like the Merrimack zone. If you're not familiar with Merrimack College, they run this zone. It is one of the sexiest things. I want to break it down one day. It is so sexy. It goes from like a 1-3-1 to a 2-2-1 to a 2-3. Based, it's just, oh.
Babe. Do you need a minute, Ant?
Yeah. Roz. Roz. What's a really good ballet? What's a really good ballet? What's your favorite ballet? What's your favorite ballet?
My favorite ballet?
Yeah.
What's
Cinderella? Cinderella ballet. That's what it is. It is like it's like poetry is like it's just, man, I'm telling you, it's one of the most beautiful things. And it's nice because guys know their job. And it's not like they want to be a top 25, top 30 defense. It's like, hey, we're just going to try to cover up as much as we can. If you make it, you do. If you don't, it's whatever. You know what I mean? If you're just okay. Michigan is one of those teams where if they're just okay, like imagine Iowa with Keegan Murray and all those guys. Imagine that team with like a 65 ranked defense.
I mean, they'd be incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Scoring 95 a game, allowing 60. Congrats. Good luck with that, right? So, you know, Michigan is very similar where they have to find a way. They have to find a way to play defense. They have to find a way. And they give up a lot of twos. I don't even know what the numbers are, but the eye test tells me that they give up a lot of stuff around the basket. And it's like – it's not even like those, like, I got to try hard for this. It's like you're doing Mikings. You know those Mikings drills?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's like. You're doing Mikings, except Khalil's going to be doing dunk. Malik, and one. Well, he's just lefty, all left because he doesn't know.
Yeah, not a lot of right going on there.
Right.
I mean, and that does make it seem like a really interesting contrast in styles, you know, because Indiana has been susceptible to the three-point line, and Michigan's going to get their looks.
Michigan wants to play fast, too.
Yeah.
They want to play very fast. And I think that's part of it. They kind of want to get after it on defense. It's almost like they want you to hurry up and score so they can score again. It's like opposite of what I expected this year from the team. It's exactly opposite. I expected a very good defensive team.
To you, is it more like personnel related or scheme related? Because I know with IU fans, a lot of people have gotten frustrated the way that they run their kind of pick and roll defense. They sit somebody at the nail, wings wide open for threes at time after time after time. So people are getting kind of frustrated with the scheme. For Michigan, is it more scheme or is it more just like dudes losing assignments and stuff like that?
Man, the switching is bad. I feel like, you know, over rotating, they don't know who to rotate on. The on ball defense, oh my goodness. Which I think is an Indiana, which is so an Indiana thing that I think helps Michigan is that do you one on one? I don't think you're worried about Mbako taking you off the bounce. You're not worried about Malik taking you off the bounce. You're not worried about Ware taking you off the bounce. That's going to be two players, right? Can CJ take you off the bounce? One or two dribbles, then he's going to pull up, right? He's not going to. He's not going to the rim. Put this back in the fridge.
Okay.
This guy wants his Chobani.
Hey.
Hey. This message is from Chobani. Thank you. You got it. I think that plays into Michigan's hands where they have a big issue with blowbys. They have a big issue with guys just being able to just catch and just go. But Indiana doesn't have a lot of that personnel. So I think that will be a plus for Michigan, you know, just based off personnel wise, but they haven't needed to do that because they would just get the ball on the wing and they just give it to the elbow or give it to the post and just let the guys work down there.
One more question for you on this game before we just talk briefly about the Big Ten at large. In terms of other individual matchups, do you expect Kamwa and Malik to be matched up with each other? Because that seems like a pretty interesting contrast of styles.
For the most part, yes. For the most part, yes. I see that. They have a lot of forwards. So they have him. They have Cheddar. They have Yusuf Kayat. They've got, you know, they've got Terrace as well, where, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they put Terrace on Renew and they will put someone like Kamwa on Ware. I could see that because I think Malik is more offensively savvy than Ware right now. I think Ware gets his on, you know, offensive boards, rim running, spot ups. Malik is going to give you a little more shake, right? And being mobile like that, Terrace is a mobile big. He's 6'11", long wingspan, like 7'4", 7'5", but he's mobile. And so I think someone like him could give Renew a little bit. But at the same time, if you throw like one or two screens for him, Malik's going to – I'm telling you, you're going to see some of the easiest baskets you've ever seen in your life. Like, wow, he's open. Mike Woodson is really running – he's really running that offense to perfection. Like, no, Michigan just doesn't want to do it.
You know? So, well, good. So it should be a fun upscoring game or a high scoring game as opposed to the slog we saw against Maryland.
It should be a higher scoring game. It's either going to be higher scoring or you're going to see like a nasty high shot attempt game. It's going to be a high shot attempt game.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. We'll see if they go in. But you know what I'm feeling you guys are going to make at least 5 threes in this game.
Ooh, man, that would.
You're talking about historical performance.
hey, man. Jeez. You know, I'm feeling five. Hey, look, last game before I said, hey, I think it was before. Yeah, it was before the Maryland game. I was like, I feel it in my bones. This is going to be the first time that they hit back-to-back three-point attempts. Sure enough, it was Ware and Renew.
Ware and Renew. Well, they're just looking around like, if no one else is going to do it, fine. We'll step up and make them. Whatever.
Yeah. Would y'all hit like three threes or something?
Yes. 3 for 9.
All three in the first half, right?
Yep.
You know.
You're like, okay, that's enough, guys. We've got
to quit. With Martelli coaching, is there any difference than if Juwan was coaching, or is it pretty much what you'd expect game to game?
You're killing me. I'll say this. I did not know he was in Atlantis until I was watching the Memphis game, and I was like, they're feeding Terrace a lot. Like, they're feeding him the ball a lot right now. Like, Michigan never fed the post like this. What's going on? Next thing I know, camera flashes to the bench. You see Juwan's face. I'm like, oh, 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 told on him. I knew something was off, man. And sure enough, like, they play different. I can't put my finger on it, but it's a little bit different. The dynamic is really weird. It's probably weird for the kids. Like, Juwan's never coached Trey. He never coached Olivier. He never coached Namari. You know, so like, he's getting these. Never coached GW, right? He's then, you know, all of a sudden he's like, a, you know, he's like, what they said that he was doing. He was not advising. He was like
consulting.
I forget what the word they like. Observing. He was observing. That he was observing. And like, he's getting thrown out of games. And
it is a different dynamic. Not one I've seen too often.
It's a little bit different. It is a little bit different. But what I did like in the Oregon game, I did feel like Martelli had more of the pulse of the team. And I only say that because I didn't see a lot of things in the first half that they did in the Atlantis, they didn't do in Oregon. And just so happened, they never got down by 15 in the first half against Oregon. So they lost the Oregon game. Oregon's not a good team. At the same time, I think that that was a positive step to where they need to get to. So, yeah.
When's Juwan taking over full time again?
I have no clue, but he's an assistant now, apparently. Yeah. He's an assistant now.
So weird.
It'll be the fastest progression you've ever seen to the head seat, from man. Observer to assistant to head coach all in a season.
Tell me about it.
All right, last couple questions for you, Ant. And thanks a lot for doing this. We appreciate your time.
Hey, not a problem. I could talk Big Ten basketball until I'm gone.
That's why we love having you on.
Man, I love
that's
Big Ten.
That's why we love it. Okay, best so conference. Big
best conference, easily. Best conference.
It is. What are the Big Ten storylines that have really caught your eye? Like, what do you think is the most interesting thing that's outside of Indiana and Michigan, who we've already talked about? What's the most interesting thing to you in the conference right now?
Storylines? I'm looking at the updated net rankings now. How do y'all feel about being 137 in the net?
I mean,
I'm hanging no mind.
I'm of a few different minds of it. One, like, you know, whatever. I mean, we haven't played very good against some bad teams, so yeah, it's fine. It's obviously early, and the net rankings are really noisy early on. There's always kind of crazy rankings. So I think, to me, any individual ranking doesn't mean a lot. What I do take from it, though, is that the Big Ten is not doing very well. And we have precious few weeks to pick up some good wins to make conference wins better. Because like Tony and I were talking about earlier, you know, once you get into conference play, it's like your total piece of the net pie is set, and now you're just divvying it up among the conference foes. You know, so I'd rather have a bigger piece of the pie, but right now you got Purdue up there at 5, a few other teams in the 20s, and then some teams that are really far down there. Yeah. So that's concerning for the overall conference's strength.
So storyline, something that, you know, I didn't really see coming into the year. Iowa's freshmen are really, really good. Are really, really good. They have – they're probably the best freshman class right now out of anybody.
Wow.
Owen Freeman's Harding, tough.
Brock Harding. They got Baby Sanford. They got Dembele. They got Owen Freeman. Those four cats are really freaking good. Really good. Best freshman class. Best freshman class. You throw rankings, all that BS out the window. Iowa has the best freshman class, and I don't think it's very close. Did not see that coming in. I did know about Brock Harding and Owen being from Moline and all that stuff, but Baby Sanford, Dembele, the way that they've come together, Fran kind of runs them in their own unit, which I find kind of weird to do. I don't like it, but it's fun, right? It's almost like Fab Five-ish where they play all five freshmen at the same time. But they play those four at the same time alongside like Josh Dix or something weird. And they're fun. That's a fun, fun group. That, two, Maryland. What y'all doing? Jesus, you're from the DMV. You're out here. What is happening? That's probably the most annoying thing that I've seen. Because like I like to like go I like to say crazy stuff before the preseasons of like thoughts that are deep in my head that I don't like to say. I said Ohio State, Wisconsin, or Maryland two of these teams will finish in the top four in the league. Ohio State and Wisconsin are still holding on to that dream. Maryland just gave me the middle finger. I don't know what's going on there. You've returned everyone. You go out and get Jordan Geronimo. Once Akeem Hart leaves, they could have made a play for a much better dude. Honestly, they could have. I don't know why Dante Scott is there. They should have let him leave. Whatever's going on there, I don't know why they played Dante Scott. Scott needs to be like the backup five, I think. I would say Minnesota. They're going to be really annoying in the Big Ten. That team, I mean, they've got Dawson Garcia is good. Cam Christie, man. Cam Christie's really talented. Max Christie's brother. Cam Christie's really good. 6'6 shooting guard. I like Pharrell Payne, but he's been injured. He's starting to come back.
Did I read a tweet from you right over the weekend? Did you say they have a top seven roster in the Big Ten?
I think they have a top seven roster in the Big Ten. I really think they do. But their rotations are so strange. Their rotations, I don't really get it. I think Johnson's gone after this year if they don't get to the NIT, and then Nico Medved's gonna come in.
Colorado State coach. Is he Colorado State?
Yeah. They just beat someone else, like beat the hell out of them. They beat the hell out of a real good team. They already beat Creighton. Who else did they beat? They beat
Colorado.
Did they beat Colorado?
Yep.
They beat someone else too, man. They beat someone else good. But they've been absolutely going to
war. They beat Washington yesterday.
Wow. They killed Washington, right?
Saturday, yeah. Or no, they beat them by 5. They had a big beat on them.
They beat them by 5, beat Colorado by 5. They beat Creighton by 21. Yeah. Yeah, they've been going to work against teams. But I think those are the only real surprises, honestly. Those are the only real surprises. Michigan State will be all right, I think. I think when watching that Arizona game, I was like, okay, all right. I think they understand what they got to do now and who they need to play, their rotations. But, yeah, outside of that, everything's like nothing really too surprising. Lance Jones, I'm probably his biggest fan. I love Lance Jones for Purdue. Like, Purdue wins if Lance Jones doesn't get that call at half court. Honestly, like Boo Booey didn't have a field goal for 14 minutes up until that time. And then he fouls out with what, like a minute left. Over the next 6 minutes, Boo Booey has like 10 points. So like Lance Jones is huge. I think Lance Jones, the way that he alleviates pressure from Braden Smith is nuts. And I know Indiana fans are in here and they don't want to hear any of this. I get it. But just know that Lance Jones is probably one of the more underrated pickups in the entire country. Nothing flashy coming in, but right now, like what he's doing with that team, so good, so good. But those Iowa freshmen, man, I'm really impressed. Whenever Iowa plays, if I miss it, I hop on Synergy. I don't care if it's like 2 a.m. and I watch them. And if I'm too tired, I just watch that lineup with them. That's it. Like, I just watch that lineup. Just
the beauty of Synergy.
Yeah, man. Brock Harding, man, he reminds me of Jason Williams. Reminds me of Jay Will. Flashy, just enjoys the game. If he gets a jump
white
shot,
chocolate, Jason Williams, you mean?
White chocolate, Jason Williams. Yeah. Nice. White chocolate. A lot of fun. If you want to have fun, watch that team. Then watch that freshman lineup. Because like freshmen, they played with like was I don't know what the correct term is, but like a blissful ignorance because they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. They're just out there hooping, right? That's them. Like Owen Freeman, like. Man, he had one possession. He had 3 straight blocks on this team. And he's like sprinting down the court to get the ball back. It was just, man, I'm like smiling ear to ear the whole time. Dembele, he could shoot the ball. Like, oh my gosh, this dude's an athlete. Boom, boom, boom. And then next thing I know, he's in the corner. Whap. I'm like, okay. All right. Owen Freeman is gonna be a future all Big Ten player. Dembele probably is too. Brock Harding is going to be there for 9 years. And they're just recouping, man. But Ohio State's gotten a lot better. I thought that they would get better. I'm not going to say they've like exceeded expectations, but you know, shout out to Gale, man, Roddy Gale. You know, because Sensabaugh Ball took a lot of his time most of last year. And when Roddy came in the postseason, he was doing his thing, and you saw it. You're like, if he holds on to this, he just stays there. Stay there. Hold on to this because you can have this next season. And that's what he's been for them. He's been so good. Bruce Dort has been so good. Backcourt, right? Been so good. You know, Felix Okpara has been better. You know, they've – that team's going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Oh, last thing. Connor Sejean. What is going on with him in Wisconsin? Like, what is happening? And you know what? It could be that Blackwell took over his time. Klesman's been playing well. I don't know how they got A.J. Stewart to this day, but hey.
Dang, Asijan's only playing 20% of minutes. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, he's not playing at all.
Yeah.
Against Marquette,
17% from three-point range.
Yeah.
Wow.
Against Marquette, he played 3 minutes. He was minus three with, like, one turnover. I'm like, yo. It's
yeah, then it was weird when Guard was asked about it. He's like, you'll have to ask him.
Yeah. Like, there's something going on.
Whoa.
Something going on.
Jeez.
There's something happening, dog. There's something happening. And well, that was someone who, like, I expected to be, like, Tyler Hero light, you know, averaged, like, 12, 13 on that team.
Yeah.
But, man, their guys have gotten better. Klesman's gotten better. Chucky Hepburn, I felt that he needed to facilitate more and be more of a third, fourth option. And that's what he's doing. And, man, and I'm a big Steven Crowell guy. I got a lot of hate. But, look, Crowell is just – he's going to hit you with that above average every single game. And that consistency, it goes a long way, man.
It does. Lane, we appreciate you being on here, man. Always love your insight. Tuesday night, Indiana, Michigan, 9 Eastern, Peacock. Are you going to be doing another halftime chilling report? On
Depends. UMass? Depends what I'm doing. The wife is like 39 weeks, so at any point I could be man. Going in. So if I disappear for a little bit, it's because I got stuff to do.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
I understand that. Yeah, congrats.
That'll be your second? Number two?
That'll be number three. Number two.
Okay.
So,
very nice.
Yeah.
Be a lot of late night synergy, holding the baby on synergy, right?
Absolutely.
Two in the morning.
Film sessions and baby's going to make noises. I'm not even going to care.
That's all right.
That's awesome, man. I hope Derek Queen was watching that Indiana-Maryland game. That's all I know.
I hope so, too.
I hope Derek Queen was watching. He's from around here, and I don't know. I think it should be between Indiana and who's the other team, Kansas?
Well, it's supposed to be Maryland, but, yeah, Kansas and Houston are the other ones in there.
Yeah, I don't think he should go to Maryland, bro. I don't think he should go to
Maryland. We agree.
Yeah. I don't think you should go to Maryland. I really don't.
They went four deep down there the day after trying to recoup. You know, hey, I know we just lost by 20 and looked horrible offensively and have all season, but we got a whole staff here for you and you can help change all that.
Yeah,
it was not good.
Tail between the legs, like, look, bro, we're still here, man. I'm sorry. Like, yep. We need you. But yo.
Hey. Ant, where's the best place for people to support your work? Obviously, we recommend everybody go check out Hoosier Illustrated. Alec and the guys over there do an awesome job.
Yeah, HoosierIllustrated.com is dope. Outside of that, just my Twitter and it's Ant Wright. And, like, that's pretty much, like, everything. Like, I do have a Discord of, like, I don't know, like 800 people that people come to and kind of hang out.
Nice.
I'm in there.
I got to do a much better job of interacting in there, but I feel like I'm slowly getting over there. Yeah. I do have a Discord, all that fun stuff. But yeah, just it's here right on Twitter, Blue Sky, whatever, anything. It's here right.
It's Ant Right.
YouTube, it's Ant Right as well. So
it's Ant Right. Well, Ant, we appreciate you being here. Tony, thank you for taking time to do this as well. Thank you everybody for listening, and we will talk to you all on Tuesday night after IU Michigan. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.